Catholic Dad Show. We do not have an introduction, but we are glad you're here.
We are so glad. My name is Chris, and I am a Catholic dad.
I am very glad your name is Chris. Very, very glad your name is Chris.
Moving on.
Guys, my name is Matt. I'm a dad. I'm Catholic. This is Chris. He's a dad. He's Catholic. Welcome to the show.
So today is going to be a rather controversial episode as we dive into the Catholic Dad Show. It's part four of Why Grow as a Father. And so it's because our wives need us. Like, really, it's the spousal relationship. Like, they need us to be amazing fathers, amazing Catholic dads. And so so we're going to dive into that.
As we were making notes for the show, Chris types in this particular phrase, and I'm like, that's a good one to start with. If there are any trolls that are like watching this episode, that will really get them on fire. So what was that phrase, Chris?
Essential oils don't make a man.
That was not it. That's a pretty good one, though.
Why are they so essential? I lived my whole life without them. And then I got married, and all of a sudden, you have the sniffles.
Very essential.
Here's an oil. Yeah, they're so essential. So, anyways, if you love essential oils, great. If you don't, that's fine, too. So before we get to that point, you guys, I want to thank you for joining us. As we dive in, the first thing we want you to do is subscribe. We want you to share this. Talk to another dad. You can find The Catholic Dad Show on YouTube and where all amazing podcasts are found. You can also dive deeper into the fun at thecatholicdadshow.com. Most importantly, you guys, tell another dad so we can journey together.
I noticed that now, again, we didn't refine this note, but you said on YouTube, but we also are putting this out as a podcast. So there is just the audio from this video is also taken and put on a podcast, and it's The Catholic Dad Show. You should find it, be able to find it on all, like where all podcast things are found. There you go.
Good. So one reason why we need to grow as a father is because women make bad fathers. That seems like a controversial statement. That's it. That is the line.
It sounds controversial. Yeah. Yes. But it's not. Why not?
Well, because women are not made to be fathers. I mean, that's a simple thing. God created you with purpose and on purpose. And if he created you as a mother, then lean into that reality. If he created you as a father, then lean into that reality. There are some situations where dads have to figure out certain things because they're single dads, and moms have to figure out certain things because they're single moms. But some of the single moms that I know out there, they make effort to bring male figures into the lives of their children because they recognize that they cannot be the dad and the mom. They can be an awesome mom and they can bring in father figures, but they cannot be the sole father figure because they are the mother figure. So yeah, women make bad fathers, which is why we need to be the good fathers, because men make great fathers.
And men make bad mothers.
And we do. We make bad mothers.
So I like just a little aside. So I've, and I don't know if it's like, I have a hard time with empathy. That is not just a male trait, but I do think most men, maybe not most men, I think a lot of men, or maybe let's just go down a step further. It's common for men to be less empathetic than women. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement, but to say zero empathy is not true. But in you, my goodness, Matt Rice.
My goodness, Matt Rice. So my wife and I, like, I have to take things to my wife because she gets that better than I do. And so anyway, and on the other side, the challenging our children to go beyond where they think their limits are, that's something that my wife doesn't necessarily get or see because she's the nurturer. Like, she wants to console them and make them feel better in a way. But me, I want them to be better. And now, I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but there is this drive in a man or as a father to help their children be and reach the potential that they see in them. And that's one of the things that's different, I would say, between a mother and a father, and why women would make bad fathers, because that's not necessarily an aspect that they see or that they call out in their children.
Right. Yeah. And of course, there's examples where there's women that are unempathetic, like Matt Rice. There's also examples of men who are very nurturing and very caring and things of that nature. And so
I thought you were going to say like you.
Like me? Compared to you, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have a soul. It's like someone's hurting. I love them. Not, they'll learn from this. Teachable moment. Learn on your own. It'll grow back. Like, it's just a flesh wound. It's like they actually need, they just need a hug. They yeah. didn't show you the wound. They just need a hug. So,
but this whole section is to speak about the complementarity of male and female, of mother and father, right? Women make bad fathers because they're women. And they complement, we complement each other.
Right. And that complementarity on either side of it standing alone is not the full picture for the child or for the person. Like, women make better mothers when they have their husband supporting them in that role and vice versa. And so one of our roles as father is actually to support our wife as mother or our spouse's mother. And so we really need to make sure that the way that we're living is as a complementary piece to the motherhood that God has called. And again, we recognize there's some unique situations out there that might look different than having your wife around or something like that. And that's hard. Like, that's a cross. But to recognize that, that it's different than what is normal or intended to be normalized.
So a little thought on that. So our wives need us to support them. In what ways do you see that being carried out authentically as a Catholic dad?
Well, sometimes the wait till your father gets home thing.
Yep.
Carries a little bit of weight. So when my children are disrespectful or something like that in the disciplinarian role, you need to tell your father about what you did when he gets home. And my kids, that's worse than the spank. Just beat me. Just hit me. You know, and go get the spoon. Go throw the chancla. Like, just do that. They would prefer that. But instead, they have to take ownership and responsibility. And so there is something in regards to recognizing on the authority of a dad or of a father in a home and in the life of a child to where, he does call me to a standard. And I have failed to meet that standard. And I have to own up to that to him. There's some weight to that.
And so, like, what got me thinking, like, as you were talking about that, is that there's a very secular truth to that, to what you just said. But there's also an authentically Catholic truth to that, or Christian truth to that. And the way that we are called as fathers to be that primary example, in a way, of God the Father to our children, that statement right there, you need to talk to your father about this. Like that right there is, it connects with every single person on this earth. Like, we need to talk to our father about the ways that we've fallen short, you know, and about even about the things we're proud of. Like, so that can go both ways. But, and so that, I think that's really interesting and unique, kind of the way that a Christian would see that. It's not just your dad's going to punish you. You know, you need to talk to your father about that, because your father wants you to grow and to be close to him and things like that. You look like you're looking something up.
I am. So there's on a scriptural reality, there's the anointing oil flowing down from Aaron's beard, right? It talks about how the anointing flows from the beard. And I know this is going to sound weird, but it flows from the beard, not from the breast. Like, there's a difference. The nurturing comes from that feminine reality, but the anointing comes from the beard. And so there is something about fatherhood that passes on something that transmits. In fact, the word tradition actually means the handing on. And so at Mass, when this is my given up for you, like in the consecration, given up for you, passing on is kind of what tradition means. That passing on takes place in the liturgy as well. That's also one of the roles of the father, because that anointing of faith needs to flow from the beard. And so that's another aspect in regards to fatherhood that I think is really important. And some would say spiritual head or spiritual leader and things like that. I actually think it's deeper than just kind of saying, I'm in charge of leading prayer, right?
Yeah.
It's something deeper about that, because an anointing as opposed to an inheritance or a gift, like faith is a gift and anyone can pass on the gift of faith. Anyone can and should lead people to Jesus. Yeah. But there's a deeper reality when you talk about the anointing, because an anointing lays claim over something in a way that a gifting doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and so to speak about that spiritual head, I know that, I feel that there are mothers out there, or women out there, that are annoyed by that thought, you know, that the man is the spiritual head of the household. And that, like, Chris, you reacted to that, like, visibly.
They're not annoyed. They're frustrated. Yeah. Like, dads, like, wake up, man. We have to be able to lead our families. Like, it's
they're
crazy.
They're frustrated at dads. But I think women, like, and maybe it's like a feministic kind of movement, but the idea that men have that spiritual head role, the idea they're frustrated at, you know? And so, but the thing is like, when, like, you can't not see it, you know, that God has created it this way. And so that's where, like, we can try to fight against the way that God created us, but it's going to be a losing fight.
Yeah.
You know, and so what we've seen, though, and we've talked about this in the other episodes in this series, but what we've seen is what happens when fathers are not the spiritual head or not taking, I mean, regardless, they are the spiritual head. Wherever they're going, everybody's following. And I've seen this happen in families where the mothers come to me frustrated and sad because their kids are not going to church.
Yeah.
Their kids are atheists. And I'm like, it's because your husband isn't involved. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's just the truth, you know? And it sucks because that's like the man in the house is the spiritual head. The father is the spiritual head. Wherever he goes, everybody else goes. And so,
and this is statistically backed up. It's not just scripturally backed up. It's statistically backed up to where if, like, there's only one parent going and it's the dad, the kids are like 80% likely to continue the faith. But if there's only one parent going and it's the mom, it drops to like 20%. Like, it's insane. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was so shocking. There's a disparity there.
And we've talked about kids in a prior series or prior episode in this series. But so this is more about our wives need us, moms, the mothers of our children need us. And that spiritual leadership also, it cascades upon them. Like, cause that's like, so in our prayer life, in our spiritual life, primary is our relationship with God, my relationship with God, but then my vocation. Like, then my, and the primary part of that vocation is my spouse, is my wife, and then it's my children. And so the spiritual impact that my spiritual life has first, like, outside of me,
right,
first lands on my wife.
Right.
You know, and so our wives need us to be strong spiritually because of the, not just the leadership and the guidance, but the, but literally the actual protection that they receive from the devil and any demons, any kind of evil spirits that want to get at our wives. That primary protection comes from God, but then from us, from the anointing that God has given us.
Could you imagine a dad who's like, my role is to be spiritual provider for my children? Lord Jesus, I pray for spiritual protection over my household, except for the place where my wife sleeps, right? Like, of course you're going to provide and protect everyone in your household. Wife and children are kind of combined up in that role as spiritual provider and protector and things of that nature. But so often when we're interacting with our kids as father, right, we're just dadding it. We forget that we're also blessing our wives in that same moment. Yeah. But when we're leading the head of the household type of role, it's not like we're like, except for this side of the bed over here.
But I do think that if we sense something that our spouse is going through that seems like a spiritual attack, we need to get on our knees around that specific thing and pray specifically for her because she needs us. She needs us in that moment as spiritual protector to do that.
And our kids need a mother that is, so in other words, even if it's, if there's tension, even if it's just for the sake of the children, support your wife's spiritual growth because a strong spiritual mother is what your children deserve. And you should seek to provide that as a father. That's something that you can help provide. Now, that being said, there's a lot of fruits to being an awesome dad as well. When I interact with my kiddos, like, my wife sees the beauty of my fatherhood and it's this whole gift that gets unveiled because she just married this schmuck, right?
Yeah.
But then when we had our first kid, like, there was this whole other side of me that came out to where it wasn't just like the schmuck with a kid, but it was like there's a whole other aspect of fatherhood that she didn't even know existed. My personality and my personhood kind of revealed a new role that revealed on a deeper level who I was and who God created me to be. And so there's a gifting in that reality. And she falls deeper in love with that. And when your wife falls deeper in love with you as a father, she falls deeper in love with you as a husband, she falls deeper in love with you. And there's a lot of benefits when your wife falls deeper in love with you. I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah.
What are those benefits, Chris?
Better meals and other things. The kids might be listening, Matt. Continue on.
I mean, maybe, but we could say the word sex in front of the kids.
I did not say that. I did not say that.
If you haven't talked to your kids about sex, you should. Like, that's actually, like, that actually might apply to today.
At an age appropriate level.
Episode.
At an age appropriate level. Yes.
What did you say? The special hug? That was what you said in the previous
Mom
episode.
Mom and Dad shared a special hug.
And then we went off on this whole Eddie Murphy company, whatever. Anyway, so the, what I wanted to switch segments or segue to avoiding the millstone. Last week you challenged me with avoiding the millstone.
Yes.
So Chris, like, dude, we don't have any music for this. We need to get music. Hey, if you're listening, if you're subscribing and you can put together some sort of little like riff of avoiding the millstone, that's like 15 seconds long, send it our way. Like as soon as possible.
We'll use it. We'll use it.
Yes, we will. Go, Chris.
So this week on Avoiding the Millstone, we are talking about our role as husband and father, most importantly as father, but how that blesses our wife. We need to be amazing fathers because our wives need us. There is something in regards to avoiding the millstone that I think that I'm guilty of. I know that Matt's been guilty of. But when there is tension between you and your wife, sometimes you step back from all relationships. And that includes your relationship with your kids. Well, I'm not going to help put the kids to bed, or I'm shorter with the kids because my wife can see me treating the kids in a short way. And that kind of drives it in a little bit. Like, you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. And one of the ways that I can hurt you
through hurting the kids
is through a child. Like, it's horrible. So don't do that junk, okay? That is something that you need to avoid while you are avoiding the millstone.
All right. Well done, Chris.
This week, guys, Avoiding the Millstone was brought to you by The Village. Come join us at The Village. Matt, tell us about The Village.
The Village is an online community for parents to grow in their faith, to share kind of their own struggles. But then also we put out a lot of resources for parents to be able to share their faith with their kids. We've got a ton of videos, tons of different reflections you can do every month. And it's ablaze.us/the-village. And I'll probably make it easier and do ablaze.us/the-village.
Good. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. The Village is a community where we can all journey together. I invite you guys to check it out. So growing as father. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say also, just as a mid-show reminder, make sure you subscribe. Now go, Chris.
Excellent. So one of the pieces that when we were prepping for the show, I thought about is like this whole idea of fatherhood, this commitment to excellence in fatherhood. It's because our wives need us to be, but it's also, that was the moment when we committed to excellence in fatherhood. When we were up there at our wedding and we made those vows and that willingness to be open to life whatsoever, we, in that moment, committed to seeking excellence as a father because we were inviting sacramental grace into that vow, into that promise, and now it's bearing fruit. Literally, we bear fruit in marriage, right? And we name them children, right? And so it was at that moment. So there's something that we have to remember that in this connection, this relationship with our wife, we need to seek to grow into father as fathers because we committed to that at marriage, and there's sacramental grace that is supporting us in that commitment or that striving for excellence as a father.
So you're like in this series, the Why Grow as a Father, in this episode, because our wives need us to be true to what we committed to.
Yeah.
Like to actually like follow up on what we said we were going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Because on that wedding day, that's exactly what we did.
And to steward the graces that come along with it. Like, I think that's the beautiful thing about this is it's like, if Christ is sacramentally present, because that's what he promised, and of all people, Jesus keeps his promise, right? Then we have like a supernatural power to continue moving forward in this direction, even with it, when it becomes rocky. And boy, did it become rocky. Every kid was angry about something last night. My wife and I, after we got the kids to bed, we just looked at each other and we were just like, tonight was really hard. Yep. Okay. Let's go clean up the kitchen and go lay in bed and watch a show in bed. Like, that is literally, we were just like, we're so done. Like, we're just going to do the bare minimum and go upstairs and shut the door so the kids can't be in this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So like to continue on this, like what our wives need from us as we grow spiritually. So one of the thoughts I had was, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, was our wives need us to be mature enough and confident enough in ourselves, which only comes from having a solid relationship with God, and actually evaluating ourselves and growing as men. They need us to be confident enough to ask them for help. And that's was the example I kind of gave at the beginning of this episode, was like, I was really frustrated with one of our kids to the point that if I talked with that kid at that moment, it would not have been a good thing. And I was like, I don't know if you've done the whole in the box thing, but like all I could see was negative.
Yeah.
All I could see of my kid at that time was negative. And so I, it was hard for her, to hear all the negativity that I had, but I had to say it. You know, I had to get it out.
To the child or to your wife, venting about the child?
So to my wife, I said, I need to talk to you before I talk to my child.
Yeah, get it out now. Yeah. Get it out in the right person.
I need your perspective. You know, because I know that you see them differently than I do right now. And I know that I'm not seeing them truly right now. And so I need your help. And so
both of us, I'm sure, don't want to murder this child. Just me. Yeah. It's just me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so like our wives need us to grow as a father so that we are mature enough to be able to ask for help when we need it. And so yeah. That was a moment for me that I was thankful that I swallowed my pride, that I had a little humility to be able to say, this isn't a true thought and I need to expose it to you, to our marriage, to our marital graces or whatever, for you to like speak truth into what I'm feeling.
Yeah. And so Patrick Lencioni talks about in his book, The Ideal Team Player, that the ideal team player is hungry, humble, and smart. So we have to want to grow as a father, right? But we also have to be humble enough to be able to say, I need to pull myself back and allow the mother to come in or to complement that reality, right? Because yep. We can't do it all. We shouldn't try and do it all, especially when we're seeing red like Matt was in that example. And yep. To be smart about things as well. Like, there's lots of different ways to where it's like, why are our kids so, like, off the wall? It's like, oh, because they literally ate all the Halloween candy in a 3-day period, and that brought chaos into our life because sugar yep. is a drug. Essential oils are also, no, just sugar, just sugar.
So, Chris, what else do our wives need from us? And like, our growth as a Catholic dad will affect that.
Great. Yeah. So obviously the spiritual head piece has so many other pieces that go underneath it, right?
Yeah.
But I also think that there's certain times where we need to be stable at like consistency, like if that makes sense. Sure. Because the best way that I can describe this is in spiritual direction, I met with the priest and I was talking about my struggle with anger. And I just found myself by the end of the day, I would just escalate really quickly. And he's like, how long's your drive home from work? And I'm like, it's 4 minutes. He goes, you need to make it 10 minutes. Like, what do you mean? He goes, find a cul-de-sac, go park the car and shift from work, because there was just a lot of noise going on at my job at the time.
Yep.
And I would take that noise home. And when I'm always a father, but when I'm home, I'm more intentionally a father. Like when I'm around my kids, right? When I'm at work, I'm a father because I'm trying to provide for my kids, right? But when I'm at home, there's a different state of fatherhood that I kind of enter into. And I was bringing the chaos from work into the home, and that created a very inconsistent fatherhood. And so my kids didn't like what they called angry dad. Like, they had to say, hey, don't turn into angry dad. Like, that hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't turn into angry dad. But my wife also didn't appreciate angry dad, especially if she was like, kids, your dad's coming home, so everyone behave and don't have fun and just dodge them, avoid them. You know, like, that's not okay either. So that element to be able to say, I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to spend 5 more minutes in my car and talking to Jesus so that I can shift into a more consistent role as father is important. So our wives need us to be consistent when it comes to our fatherhood.
Yeah, need us to be stable, you know, in a way.
That's a different way to say it, but it's also fair. Yes, thank you.
That reminded me, and this is just a side note before we like get towards the end of the show, but I was talking with, I don't know if it was you or maybe it was actually my wife, but I was talking about how like I don't get angry like at the office. Like, people that I work with almost never see me angry. They like I don't think I've ever yelled Like, not that I should yell as a boss or anything like that, but no one at work has ever seen me angry, like really angry.
Yeah.
But my wife and my kids and my mom and my dad and my brother, like my family has seen me angry and yelling and screaming and irrational. Why is that? Like, why am I okay with treating my family like that and not my coworkers?
It's a fascinating question because there's certain people that we're close enough to them to where it's okay to crap on them.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that, why? Yeah, why not just crap on strangers?
Yes, exactly. It should make it worse to crap on people you love. It just makes no sense to me.
Probably because you'd be in jail if you were irrational and blew up on someone. They'd be like, hey, crazy man, aisle 4, Walmart. It's like, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, your thought about the, like, that just made me think about that. I was like, I don't treat my family the way I should.
Yeah. One thing that I think is important is what we do away from our wife and what we do away from our children matters just as much. And I've heard that a great father is never the first one to bed or the last one awake in the morning, right? And so the dad makes sure that the house is settled and safe before he goes to bed. The dad is up in the morning to where he's not the last one out of bed, because that's just a bad example. You know, so I thought about that.
I've never heard that before. Where'd you hear that?
I forget. Probably social media.
Yeah, so it was on the internet, so it must be like biblical truth, you know?
But
no, I like it. But I mean, I'm sure there are days when I'm the last one out of bed. There are days when I'm the first one to bed, but it all depends on the day. But I am the one who walks around the house at the end of the day, make sure all the doors are locked.
But
you know, and so that
there,
I like
there is anyway. Nothing wrong with playing video games for an hour or sure. watching media. But there is something wrong when you play video games or watch media until 2 in the morning, when you know your kids are going to need a father that's awake and aware at 6 in the morning. Like, you cannot be sustained in that reality. And so what you do away from your wife and away from your kids, like, we have to be thinking about how can I become a better father, quote unquote, off the clock. And yeah, anyways, that all connects, because sometimes our routines with our spouses can lead to us not being as good as fathers because we stay up too late doing things.
What you just said, like, exposed a void in what we have shared so far on this episode, and that is presence.
Mm.
Our wives need us to be present, right? Because
yes.
we could work way too many hours and not be home. We could spend time playing video games and not be home. We could go to the golf course every night and not be home. But our wives need us to be present.
How many golf courses are open at night? Just out of curiosity. I'm not a golfer.
I mean, you can golf until dark.
Okay.
And depending on the time of the year, that's in the afternoons.
Yeah, just giving you a little pushback, Matt. Yeah.
You know, I can go to the driving range and especially, like, what is it, Topgolf? I can go somewhere that.
Topgolf is amazing.
And
but it's hard to provide for a family and go to Topgolf more than once a year. Place is expensive.
Well, yeah. And maybe that's another, like, component, is not spend all the money.
Yeah.
but yeah, our wives need us to be present at home for multiple reasons, for all of these reasons that we've shared.
Yeah, so we're ending on a much more positive note, right? So instead of saying women make bad fathers, men make bad mothers, we're saying there's a complementarity to it. And that complementarity goes through a number of different ways, including sacramental grace, where we're the spiritual head, provider, protector. It's part of our vows that we committed to. We need to be consistent in our role as fathers, because that blesses our wives. And also, we need to be present, not just to our children, but also to our wife as husband, but also as father. They need to see, children need to see a father who loves their mother.
Amen. Guys, make sure that you subscribe to this channel, that you like this episode, hit that little bell so you get notified, and share this with someone that you know that needs to hear it.
And we are so grateful, you guys, for you guys journeying with us as we seek to become excellent in fatherhood. Here we seek excellence in fatherhood. Ba-bam. The Catholic Dad Show. Thanks again for joining us. We will see you in 2 weeks at our next episode.
God bless.